Hi guys, I'm your host Olivia and you're listening to Season 1 of BCT. We are the Christian podcast that enables you guys to hear people from all different backgrounds talking about real life stories of radical change. Follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. In today's episode, I am joined by Craig Street. Hello, Craig.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good.
I'm glad. So tell me a little bit about yourself, your family, and what you do for a living.
Okay. Well, as you said, my name's Craig and married to Charlotta, my wife. We've got four children, Rebecca, Hannah, Olivia, and Matthias, and a dog.
Oh.
Maya's my dog. She's lovely. She rules the house. And I work for Network Rail. And I come to Baglan Community Church, which I'm really pleased about. I love it here. And yeah.
Cool. So what do you do in your spare time then when you're not working?
I like to cycle.
Oh, cool.
Which gets harder and harder every time I get on my bike. Should get easier, but it doesn't. And I'm a bit of a DIY freak as well.
Oh, cool. What type of things?
Oh, my goodness. I'll have a go at anything.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I've pretty much renovated two houses.
No way.
I got all the gear, no idea. I'm like a typical one. The trouble is I start the job and I never.
Yeah, I'm the same.
In fact, actually my children bought me a mug one year for Christmas. And they said, if Dad says he'll finish it, he'll finish it. There's no need to remind him every 6 months.
That is funny. So do you have like ideas for DIY or do you get your ideas from somewhere else?
Oh, you know, YouTube is a nightmare, isn't it?
Okay, yeah.
There's so many ideas of YouTube and thinking, oh, and sometimes you've got to rein it in. But no, it's great. You know, I mean, if you want to know how to hang a door, lay a carpet.
Yeah, you know, as well.
Yeah, it's all there on YouTube. And yeah, I've probably got far too many tools for. And every time I buy a new tune, I lose another finger.
I mean, this living life on the edge, isn't it?
Yeah, this is it, yeah.
So what did your life look like then before you became a Christian?
Yeah, okay. Well, I was privileged to be brought up in a Christian home.
Okay, cool.
And I'm so grateful for that. My mum and dad were Christians and we were dragged to church every Sunday. And back in those days, it was like a full Sunday as well. So it was morning meeting, Sunday school in the afternoon, evening meeting at 6 o'clock, gospel. And we used to leave in the morning with packed lunches and food and stuff. And,
on my days.
And get home in the night absolutely wrecked.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but you know, looking back, I'm so grateful because, you know, I was brought up to go to church. And so many truths, you know, were implanted in my life through those early days.
Mm.
And yeah. That's I was brought up in a Christian home. And then, of course, we went to a Thursday night meeting as well, which was called Young Teens.
Oh, cool.
That was, you know, targeted for the teenage groups.
Yeah.
And there was a lady there was Natasha McDonald and the other guy was Chris Todd. And I owe so much to those two guys, you know, because they you know, really just put so many seeds in my life. And it was at one of those Young Teens meetings where I decided, yeah, this is it. This is for me. I didn't fully understand everything, but I understood enough. And I believed that the gospel was true. What Jesus had done was real. And I decided that was it for me. That I wanted to build my life on that. And I made a decision at an early age, I think maybe 13, 14.
Wow.
And then I guess my story goes the way that a lot of people's stories go. School hits you and then you realize that not everyone has got the same beliefs as you, and you quickly find out that you know that in many ways you're the odd one out, really.
Yeah.
You can be the only person with those beliefs and stuff, and it's difficult.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be the odd one out, and so you know I just started doing things that the other people were doing, partly because I thought that it would make me happy, partly because I wanted to fit in.
Yeah.
And looking back now, I just wasted so many years, really, with one foot in one camp and one foot in the other. And that went on for years and years, you know. I was never like a really, really bad boy. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't do any time in prison.
That's good.
Yeah, it's always a bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I was just, I guess, in this place where I knew what a Christian life should be looking like,
okay,
you know, and I knew what I was like, you know, and I felt bad, I felt dirty, you know, I was living like two lives, really, you know, like hiding one life from one group and then hiding another life from a different group. And I just felt bad about myself. I just felt like I didn't feel like a good Christian. I just wasted so many years doing that. And then through a series of events in my life, you know, I came to a point where I think I realized what the most important thing was. And I realized that the most important thing was not to be concerned about what other people thought of me, but to be more concerned about what God thought about me. And God sees the heart, doesn't he? You know, he's not just the outside, he's the heart.
Yeah.
And in fact, back in that time, I remember there was a song, and the words of the song just it literally was my life story. It was exactly what I was going through at the time. And I wasn't going to quote it because it's probably a little bit uncool now because she's such an old singer. And the singer was Amy Grant.
Okay.
Do you know Amy Grant at all?
I know Amy Grant.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. And well, I got the song in front of me here, the lyrics, and one of the songs she sang, and this song just takes me back to that time, you know. And it was literally my life story. And it's the words are here. It says, I have decided I'm going to live like a believer, turn my back on the deceiver. I'm going to live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't because I'm not able. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. And when the world begins to see you change, don't expect them to applaud. Just keep your eyes on him and tell yourself, I've become the work of God. And that really was my story. You know, I just kind of gave up on trying to be good. I think I understood for the first time that God loved me as I was, with all my hang-ups, with all my failures. Mm. And I just came back to God and said, look, this is me, this is where I am. And I really started living my life, you know, the way a Christian should, you know, pay more attention to what God was thinking about me rather than what other people were thinking about. And it was a turning point in my life. It was liberating. Yeah. It really, really was, you know. I think I literally got to a point where I didn't care anymore what people thought.
Good for you.
Yeah. You know, and it is difficult, isn't it? You know, if you're the only one in your class or whatever, it's hard, you know. But the key thing is really really more important about what God thinks than what other people think.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a challenge that we all have to face, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, good for you. Very encouraging.
Yeah.
So have you faced any, like, challenges after becoming a Christian? And how has being a Christian through those challenges helped you?
Yeah, wow, okay. Well, challenges are always there, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and I guess being a Christian, for me, it gives me a sense of purpose and a sense of me feeling that I'm part of something bigger than what we see around us. You know, what we see around us is temporal, and it can be here one day, gone the next. So for me, being a Christian, I think is the feeling of I'm part of something bigger, and it's amazing what I've loved. You know, is just watching how God's plans work out.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the least unexpected way.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the ways you wouldn't have chosen yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all think we know what we want and what's best for us, and we all think we know what God should do for us.
Yeah.
But over the years, I've constantly been amazed of how God's purposes and plans have just worked out for my life. And I guess, you know, one example, I suppose, is, you know, I've mentioned that I'm married to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte's from Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, when they hear that, they kind of ask, oh, that's great, you know, that's interesting. You know, how did you guys get together? You know, because she's from a little village in Denmark, I'm from a little village in Wales. And, you know, I guess you could ask, well, how did that happen? And, you know, it's just one of those examples of how God works things out, how God's plans was, you know. And we met each other because at the time I was the youth leader in our church.
Okay.
And Charlotte was part of a student exchange, you know, like a Bible college.
Cool.
Who were coming on mission to Wales. So she was heading up this mission. I was the youth leader in the church where this group was coming to.
Oh, my days.
Yeah. You know, and it's just like, boom.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it happened, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I could never have planned that. Mm. You know, I could have chased that until my dying days, and it wouldn't have happened. But, you know, I think the point is that I was serving God. I was putting God first in my life, doing what I felt God was calling me to do. She was doing the same.
Mm.
So, and our paths crossed, and the
rest. Where you are now.
Yeah. Four kids later, and a dog.
The dog that runs the family.
Yeah, that's it. Rules the house. Yeah. Yeah. So,
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I, you know, there's a great verse in the Bible, you know, and it's well known. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Mm. And there's a different, you know, translation of it, which says, it says, put God first on your to-do list and then just sit back and watch how amazing he is.
Mm.
And that's pretty much what we did. You know, we were putting God first on our to-do list.
Yeah.
And God just worked it out. Can I tell you a little story?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well... Because I remember this story, and it kind of reminds me of the way that God, if we put God first in our lives, how God will, you know, will add all these things to us.
Yeah.
So the story is about a little boy and a girl who lived in a village with their mum and dad. And one day they were at the riverbank, and the little girl fell in the river, and she got into trouble.
Okay.
So without thinking, the little boy jumped straight in there and got her to the riverbank and pulled her up to safety. So this little village was, you know, it's a small little village, and everyone got to hear about it within, you know, no time at all. And on the following morning, the mum was out shopping with the little boy, and they were in a shop, and the shopkeeper said to the boy, he said, I heard what you did for your little sister, and that was a very brave thing to do. And he reached up to the shelf and got a big jar of sweets, and he said, put your hand in the jar of sweets and just get a fistful of sweets and put them in your pocket. Well, the little boy just kicked his feet and looked a bit, you know, a bit shy and everything. And he says, go on, he said, put your hand in there. Well, eventually, the shopkeeper said, look, I'll do it for you. So the shopkeeper put his own hand in the jar of sweets, grabbed the sweets and put them in the boy's pocket. So when they went outside the shop, the mum said to the boy, she said, what was that about? He said, you've never been shy in your life. And he turned to his mum and he said, mum, he said, I figured, he said, if I hang out for long enough, the shopkeeper would put his own hand in the jar. And mum, his hands are much bigger than mine. But that's it with God.
Yeah.
You see, sometimes we tend to put our own hands in the sweet jar. But if we just let God do it, you know, and work things out in our lives, his hands are much bigger than our hands. And I've constantly been amazed and blessed, you know, of how I watched God's plans just unfold in my life.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, that's yeah, it's been amazing.
Always a better result, isn't it?
There you go.
Okay, so moving on. What misconceptions do you think people have about Christians and our faith?
I think the biggest misconception is that we think that we're better than everybody else, that we're on like a higher, you know, level. And and this is where the whole criticism comes, where people think that we're, what's the word? It's escaped me. Hypocrites.
Yeah.
You know, and... I think that's the biggest misconception for me, because we're not better than anybody else.
Mm.
What we have is a better way. We found a better way.
Mm.
You know, and again, so, you know, Jesus was talking to his disciples once and talking about himself. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's what we found as Christians. We found that way, the way, the truth and the life.
Yeah.
So we're not better than anybody else, but what we have is a better way. We found that way.
Yeah. Okay, final question. If you could go back in time, what advice would you give yourself?
Yeah. I thought about this question. And I think if I could go back, I'd tell myself to be stronger, to be more courageous, and to be less concerned about what people think and more concerned about what God thinks. I wasted so many years just being overly concerned about what people thought about me. And I should have been more concerned about what God thinks, you know, because his way is better than our ways. And, you know, we've only got a certain amount of time on this earth. God gives us a certain amount of time, you know.
Yeah.
Some of us get more than others.
Yeah.
But, you know, in comparison to eternity, it's just a snip. It's tiny.
Yeah.
As a kid, I was always fascinated with space. I had the whole space wallpaper thing in my bedroom and planets hanging from the ceiling.
Cool.
Did the whole telescope. I still am, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it fascinates me. Did the whole telescope thing. Mm. And I think one of the things that fascinated me the most of space is the fact that it never ends. Mm-hmm. It just never ends. And we can't get our heads around that. We can't understand it. We can't comprehend it. So we say, okay, space goes that far and then there's a wall. That's it. That's the end of space. Mm-hmm. They say, well, what's behind the wall? Oh, well, there's a little bit more and then there's another wall. Well, that really is it. That is the end of space. Mm-hmm. But we just can't get our heads around the fact that space never ends. And I sometimes wonder whether God did that just to give us a glimpse of eternity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just as much as we can't understand how space never ends, it's hard for us to understand how eternity never ends. And the little time that we have on Earth is just a snippet compared to eternity. We'll be there forever. Have you seen Schindler's List, the film?
No.
Oh, man. I don't know how many times I've watched it. And I wish I could unwatch it, you know, I guess, and watch it for the first time again. But I remember the first time I watched Schindler's List. It's such a hard-hitting film. It's incredible. And the end scenes in the film is where Schindler is outside the factory and the war is over and the Jews are thanking him for saving their lives. And, you know, Schindler was no, you know, he was no, what's the word? I don't know. Words escape me again. He was no saint.
Okay.
You know, through his own admission, he was a profiteer. You know, he made a lot of money through the war. And when he started out, he was using the Jews to make his money and to run his factories. Mm-hmm. But something happened to Schindler along the way somewhere. And he ended up being more concerned about saving the Jews rather than making money. And in the end, he pretty much died penniless. And the very last scenes of this film, of Schindler's List, the film, is the Jews thanking him. Mm-hmm. And then Schindler's having this like mini breakdown because he's got this brooch on his coat. And it's a gold brooch. He takes it off. He says, I could have got two more. I could have got two more people. I could have saved two more with this brooch. I could have sold it. Maybe one more. And then he looks at his car and he says, I didn't need the car. I drank too much wine. I could have saved more. And the reality is all those Jews were there purely because he bought them. He paid for them and saved them. Mm. And the very last scene of the film is the actual descendants of the Jews that are alive today because of Schindler. And when I watched that last scene, oh my gosh, it hit me like a brick. And I remember thinking, this is, you know, I don't want to feel like that, you know, we got such a little time on Earth, you know. And I wrote down, I made a bookmark and I used it as a bookmark for my Bible. Mm. And I wrote on it, I just said, look, God, help me to do everything I can with what I've been given in the time that I have to reach as many as I can. Mm. And it's a constant challenge. I challenge myself with it every day, you know. Mm. So many distractions, so many things I could do. Have that conversation with a neighbor or speak to somebody in work or share something. And this is why I think these podcasts are great, you know, because it's another means of just showing people the gospel is real.
100%.
You know, and there's truth is out there. And you know, so yeah, if I could go back. That was a long-winded answer, I do apologize.
No, it's great.
But if I could go back and talk to myself, I would just probably tell myself, look, I wasted so many years, you know, just being overly concerned about what people thought when I should have been concerned about what God thinks.
Mm. That was the best advice ever. Yeah, that was really encouraging. Thank you so much for coming on, Craig. Really enjoyed chatting to you and your stories and your songs and your film reviews. I'll have to listen and watch everything now you've told me to do.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. I know that people are going to enjoy this episode.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, guys, so much for listening to another episode of BCT. Don't forget to give us advice and feedback on the episodes, and we'd love to know what else you guys want to hear from our guests. Follow us on all the socials and subscribe to us. Bye for now.
Bye.